smell. Doc tapped his bucket. My filters are working, so I don't smell it, but I'm guessing that smell is you, brother. Nothing like the smell of your own burnt flesh, eh? Doc grabbed his bag of depleted supplies. All right, then. Back to the line! Sam put his helmet on and stood. Thanks, Doc. Despite you lighting me like a cigar. He activated his vibro shield and it hummed a deadly blue. Just doing my duty for the Legion we all know and love. Doc gave a quick salute and ran off. Sam switched on to the main LCOM channel with a flip of his tongue. Captain Zeno's voice could barely be heard over the sounds of combat, but what he lacked in volume, he made up for in sheer intensity.
Hold the line, you sons of war! Hold the line! The rebels didn't know the Iron Wolves carried death in their hands. Make 'em pay and KTF to the grave! Oorah!
Roared the few remaining Iron Wolves. The sound gave Sam goosebumps as he raced to join them.
Let 'em hear it!
Captain Zeno shouted into his comms.
All helmets broadcast on full! Let 'em know death is coming for 'em!
Sam rejoined the lieges as they roared into the night. It was clear every Iron Wolf still on his feet had turned his external speaker on full as they cried, Oorah! 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 Chapter 2. 72 hours earlier. Bean held his blaster rifle as though it were a microphone and looked into an imaginary camera. The rest of the Iron Wolves were gathered around his devoted audience.
Well, Troy, Bean began, doing his best impersonation of a deep-voiced hollow news anchor. I would usually open our interview with something along the lines of, Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, but since there are neither ladies nor gentlemen among us, I guess we'll settle for Welcome, lost souls, and those who've made poor life choices.
With a grin, Troy stepped up beside him and leaned over the barrel of the weapon, keeping up the illusion that it was a microphone.
That's right, Private Rivera, we're here with the legendary Iron Wolves this fine morning. Their poor life choices have led to them being shuttled to an overforsaken planet on the fringe of Republic-controlled space. It's called Kananga, and I hear it's a lovely vacation destination.
There were laughs from the squad, and Sergeant Sampson was happy to see it. After all they'd been through together, it was healthy for them to crack a few jokes, and he was pleased that they didn't mind joking around in front of their sergeant.
You don't say,
Bean looked to his fellow commentator.
And why are the almighty Iron Wolves being ordered to this lovely planet?
Well, Bean, I thought you'd never ask.
Troy looked around the cramped shuttle space at the other Legionnaires.
It seems we've been asked here by the ruling powers, due to our reputation as loyal upstanding soldiers of the Republic.
Nope, nope,
Bean said, interrupting.
I think you're reading from the wrong cue cards. That doesn't sound right.
No, clumsy me.
Troy shuffled some imaginary cards and began again.
It seems the ruling powers in the country of Kananga, which the planet takes its name from, have asked the Iron Wolves to be present for their official inclusion into the Republic because...
He peered at an imaginary card and raised an eyebrow.
Well, it seems that word of our exploits as legendary warriors has spread across the galaxy!
Hoorah!
Shouted the men in the shuttle. Troy and Bean continued back and forth like this, going on about all the downtime and rest they could look forward to, and all the lovely women on the planet who were just dying to meet a real-life Legionnaire. Of course, those things awaited only these few who were lucky enough to pull the job. Most of the Wolves had been left behind on board the Breaker. Only a squad-sized element was needed for the backwater ceremony. And despite Bean and Troy's joking around, Sam knew this assignment really was an honor for the Iron Wolves. This was a big day for the country, if not the entire planet, which was years behind.